is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Vegas Report. Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. We begin in Vegas with very good news. High-speed rail. No, not that one. Jeff, a very good evening to you. High-speed rail. Engineer Bliss has been following the chronicle of high-speed rail in California, the one that runs to a prison. However, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a high-speed rail that's going to have groundbreaking on Monday the 22nd with lots of celebrities and dignitaries attending. What high-speed rail? Good evening to you, Jeff.
Good evening, John. This is the Brightline rail system. There's a similar one in Florida that's gotten great reviews. High-speed rail, this will travel at 200 miles an hour between Vegas and L.A. And this is something that people have been wanting for decades, certainly in the Southern California area, rather than making the 4 or 5 hour drive when there's no traffic and weather's OK. This will get them there in about 3 hours. Be a little pricey. My understanding is the trip could be about $400, but that hasn't been all worked out yet. People are excited. This looks like it'll be done if everything happens the right way in time for the 2028 Olympics in Los Angeles. So that's going to move a lot of tourists back and forth. It's going to mean a lot of money for both Vegas and the L.A. basin.
And how long does the trip take, Jeff? What's the estimate?
They say the 218-mile trip will take about 3 hours. Now, that train is moving at, you know, over 200 miles an hour. I don't know how many stops it makes. I know of at least one. But it's going to be all electric, too. So that makes the environmentalists very happy.
And does it go right up the center of the superhighway that you travel? So you're going to see it fly by?
My understanding is that was going to be where they have the, you know, the through fare. The public easement will be along the highway there. So it'll make it much easier. They won't have to deal with as many public eminent domain type things. So, yeah, they're pretty excited. If it all works out, it's going to do what people have been hoping for, like I said, decades. What planners have been saying could be done, what commuters and tourists wanted done. This could end up being quite good. And like I said, it's already proven itself in Florida. People are happy with it there.
Gary Ellis of the Ellis Island Casino has a better idea. What is it, Jeff?
His idea is he wants to lend you money and to gamble with, essentially. And so what we're talking about is he would be giving you, or the casino will give you a credit, and you can cash out. If you win using the credit, you can cash out immediately. But if you don't win, then you have an interest-free loan for 30 days, and after that, it starts adding up. This is going to attract a lot of people to his smaller casino, which is off the strip. I'm sure he's going to be expanding it shortly because this is going to be bringing in a lot of people. He started this new way to look at gambling and credit that, strangely enough, a lot of the other casinos have really never considered. And they're talking about licensing it from him now, this system that he's developed. So some people are saying this could turn him into the richest person in Vegas, if not North America.
We go to San Francisco, the Bay Area, the Golden Gate Bridge. It was shut down by whom?
This was earlier in the week when we had the protests around the country, around Israel, Palestine, Gaza, and Hamas and all that. And they shut down the Golden Gate Bridge for about 5.5 hours. Now, many of the other cities across the U.S. managed to get their situation under control. But San Francisco being San Francisco, they let it go on and on and on. It caused many, many problems. So much so that the district attorney of San Francisco is encouraging people who feel like they got held up, who lost business, who had health problems, to go ahead and sue the people that were arrested, saying, you know, it was essentially false imprisonment.
Jeff, 5.5 hours on the bridge and those cars were all jammed up together. Did people leave their cars, abandon their cars? They waited for 5.5 hours?
They couldn't leave. The people were stuck because they were smack dab in the middle there. The bridge has a divider down the center, so you can't just make a U-turn and go back. And so these people in the protests had done this thing called the dragon, where they link their arms through pipes and lock themselves to cars that they've parked there on the bridge, or lock themselves to the bridge. And it makes it very difficult for the cops to take them and arrest them. And so they have to bring in cutting tools and other ways to get them apart. But on top of that, you know, like I said, San Francisco being San Francisco, there didn't seem to be a lot of enthusiasm among the government officials to get this taken care of, to arrest the people and such. There's a lot of anger over this. And it's really strange because, you know, they weren't blockading a conservative city. They were blockading, San Francisco and Marin County. These are places that are the heartbeat of liberalism. So it's interesting to see how their tactics have somewhat backfired on them.
Death Valley, what is a super bloom?
The super bloom occurs. We've seen it for now a couple of years after these rains. You know, we had drought for some time, but with the rains, all of a sudden the flowers come out and the plants start to green up, all the grass sprouts. And it's remarkable because if one day you can look out and see a brown hill or a brown valley. Like I said, the next day you look out and this thing is a riot of colors, especially yellow and orange, which are poppies, usually very, you know, very prominent here in California, our state flower. It's amazing. Just this blanket of color for as far as you can see. And of course, it's attracting all kinds of tourists and people who want to take photos for Instagram. But it's amazing. On the other hand, I have a lot of neighbors who are complaining about high pollen counts.
Disney, Engineer Bliss, Yoder Bliss, Deccan Bliss, Disney's growing. Now, Jeff, Disney in California is not as big as the one in Florida. Have they got room to grow?
They do have room to grow, and they are going to start moving on that room. They went to the Anaheim City Council, which has, for the most part, the final say on their expansion plans, and they put forward this plan called Disneyland Forward, and it's going to cost $1.9 billion, maybe $2 billion, and it's going to take up quite a bit of the remaining land around the park. And it looks like they're going to get going on it shortly. So, you know, there should be some pushback in the courts and that'll delay things for a while. But for the most part, this is moving forward and Disney's going to change the way the park looks and how it operates through this expansion. I've seen some of the early drawings for it and it really is remarkable. And some of it's quite beautiful.
And they're going to do away with some rides and bring in new rides, new adventures. Finally, we're going to Topanga Canyon. What is that, Jeff?
Topanga Canyon is a major canyon in the L.A. area that runs from the west coast there. So you have Malibu, Pacific Palisades, and into the valley. And it's, you know, it's a place with a lot of romance behind it. You know, whether you want to look back at the Indians who used to live there, the Native Americans, or certainly in the 60s and 70s when you had rock and roll stars and movie stars really start to kind of take it over. I won't say it's a colony, but, you know, it was hard to go down to Topanga Canyon and throw a stick and not hit somebody who was famous or had a gold record. And a lot of those people still live there. You know, people like the Beach Boys and Mama Cass and, you know, Mamas and the Papas and all that. They all had places in there. Many of them still do. And there's a problem, though, is the hillsides there in the Santa Monica Mountains, which what Topanga Canyon cuts through, as well as Malibu Canyon and some other canyon roads, it's subject to landslides and rock slides when we have rains. And so this is what's happened. We had some major rains over the past month. It's loosened up a lot of sediment and a lot of boulders. And now we're having these road closures, with Topanga Canyon being the big one now, which is going to be a big problem for traffic for several months as they try to clear it out and they try to strengthen it for future years to come. But it's going to be a major problem. I've made that trip when I used to live on the valley side to come in, and you had the roads closed because of rock slides, and you could take a half hour trip into work and turn it into an hour and a half or 2 hour trip because the extra distance you have to go. This is going to be a major inconvenience for people in the LA area for some time to come.
Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. I'm John Batchelor.